going to go ahead and get started. Good morning.
Good morning.
I got to tell you, before we get started, Sydney's communion was just so inspiring. I've been watching The Chosen recently. I've been binging it. I'm almost done, and I heard they're coming out with a new season.
Yes.
Gloria, we're watching it together.
Yes.
I'm telling you.
Let's do it.
And just hearing Sydney's story, I was just reliving all the scenes that I had been watching in The Chosen. I just saw so many similarities. I'm like, talk about like using Jesus as an example. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I thought that was so encouraging. And today we're going to be reading Exodus chapter 20. We're going to be looking at the Ten Commandments.
Awesome.
Here we're going to see that God is building a foundation for his people. And before we get into all that, I have been gone for a few weeks. We went to Nashville. We went to Colorado. We've been all over the place. These trips have had their ups and downs. I was struggling with some sinus problems for like over a week. God blessed me with some antibiotics and I was good to go. So good, I decided to hike up this thing called Quandary Peak. It's like, I think there's only 50 mountains in Colorado with 14,000 feet of elevation. And that was one of them. Let me tell you, I was struggling, okay? I'll draw it out here for you. And this is actually going to connect to the lesson really well. So, we're here, right? This is me. I'm probably not going to illustrate this the best. And, you know, we're climbing. It's pretty good because this is the tree line. There's nice soft soil everywhere. And then out of nowhere, boom, just like straight uphill. And then I'm right here and I'm like, oh man, I'm almost done. I'm right there. And then boom, another hill. And I can't see that top one because I'm all the way down here. But this is the peak. This is the 14,000 feet. And I tell you what, if you don't have a strong foundation, you're not going to be able to do that.
That's right.
And I almost didn't, but I tell you what, I was praying up that hill, barely. I could barely, God. You know, that was pretty much me the whole time. But it just shows how important it is to have a strong foundation in our walk with God.
Come on.
And here, we're going to see that the Ten Commandments are a foundation for the Israelites to separate them from everyone else. Mm-hmm. And when we think about the Ten Commandments, and when we think about Scripture in general, you know, I think it's a very popular view to read Scripture and think, what does this mean to me? But instead of thinking that way, let's try and take the perspective of, but what is God conveying to the original audience, and how can we apply that to our lives the way God intended? Because I think God knew what his people would respond to, and I think he knew how to relate to the Israelites. So just thinking about that. What is God conveying to the original audience, and how can we apply the Ten Commandments to our lives the way God intended?
Amen.
And the Ten Commandments are pretty absolute, right? They're concrete, what to do, what not to do. And I don't like speaking in absolutes, because maybe I'm afraid I'm going to hurt someone's feelings, I don't know. But that's what the commandments are. And many of them are self-explanatory. And so I'm reading these and I'm thinking, well, yeah, obviously you shouldn't murder somebody, you know, but you shouldn't commit adultery. But I mean, some of the easiest things to understand are the hardest to live out.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see here, this is going to be a constant theme in this lesson, is God is laying the foundation. And I was talking to a brother earlier, why is a foundation important? You know, if you're trying to build a house, you don't just build the floor and then the roof. That's not how it works. You need to build the floor, the walls, and then the roof. I don't know what all goes into building a house, but you need to make sure you have a strong foundation. And you need to make sure you include every process, just like the Ten Commandments. You need to include every commandment.
Mm-hmm.
So my trip up the mountain, I needed a strong foundation. I couldn't do it without a strong foundation. So before we dive in to the scripture, let's go to God in prayer. Dear God, thank you that we're able to come together this morning. I pray that you just lead me and speak through me and just be with the rest of the lesson. God, is so powerful to see us connecting through worship and Sydney talking about how he's living out his life like Jesus, how we're all trying to be like Jesus, God. So I pray that we can continue to encourage one another, that the lesson is impacting in our walk with you. Jesus, in your son's name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, Moses is climbing up Mount Sinai, right? And God is telling him the Ten Commandments. I looked it up. 7,000 feet of elevation. Okay. 14,000 feet. I'm just saying. I'm not comparing myself to Moses. But they did say it took him about 4.5 hours to climb up and climb down. According to Google, I mean, I know there's a lot of debate on what the real Mount Sinai is. But it took a decent amount of time. That's not something I really think about. Like, it took a lot of time to get up there. So that's kind of where it leaves off here in Exodus chapter 20. So we're going to go ahead, talk about each commandment, some a little bit more than others, and let's see what God does.
Amen.
Come on.
Verse 1. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. The first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. God is number one. It's that simple. And a lot of these commandments might blend in a little bit together. For the first commandment, God is saying that no other gods should be before him. And gods can take numerous forms. My God could be my car, my job, maybe it could be your wife, or having to pay rent. But it's important that you don't center God around those things, but you center those things around God. You make God number one above everything. And it can, I think oftentimes, it's a gradual process of slowly detaching yourself from making God number one. Mm-hmm. And things start to interfere with our fellowship. Maybe you miss service because you have to go to work. Maybe you don't show up on Wednesday. These are all things that we really have to keep each other accountable of, that we're not keeping any of these other gods before the one true God.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and look at the second commandment. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven, above or on earth, beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to those to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. So, the second commandment, you shall not make for yourself any carved image. You shall not bow down to them. And I think a good way to say this to, you know, apply to maybe our current times is don't be more worried about looking like a Christian and actually start being one. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm. Wow.
You're talking about bowing down to carved images. It's so easy to put up a facade and make it look like you're a Christian without actually living it out. And oftentimes, when you live it out, Sydney can attest to this, people aren't going to like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have each other, right? To build each other up, to encourage one another, to admonish one another. Let's look at the third commandment. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. I have this written here. I found this on a site. Jesus communicated the idea of this command in the disciples' prayer. when he taught us to have a regard for the holiness of God's name in Matthew chapter 6. A regard for holiness. I think it's so easy just to throw around God's name willy-nilly, but to actually have a purpose every time you speak to him, every time you bring him up to others, to have a purpose to share the gospel. And not to say his name in vain, like it says in Matthew chapter 6. And I'm an athlete. I'm on the football team, so it's a large part. It takes up a large majority of my day. And I try to use football, the football team, as a ministry. And I'm sure we all have our own ministries that are specific to us in our life, whether it be at work or at school. And there's a lot of things that relate to the first three commandments that I see lived out a lot in people's lives. With no other gods before me, and you shall not say my God, my name of the Lord your God in vain. There's times where we're finished with the workout, and they're like, all right, time to say the Lord's Prayer, you know, put your fists up. And I know there's so many traditions that men have, and not that that's wrong, but it's almost like they're like, all right, we have to, you know, act like we're a Christian, you know, so let's say the Lord's Prayer. All right, let's do this. And I'm just kind of, all right, you know, and I don't necessarily know how to respond to that situation, but that's just something that I've observed. It's so easy to fall into these traditions and say, oh, we're doing this, so that makes us a Christian university,
right,
instead of actually trying to impact each other's lives. Because I guarantee you, as soon as we're done praying and we go in the locker room, things 180, complete 180. People
right.
talk
yep.
about all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So the next commandment, remember the Sabbath day. And before we read into this, we see that this takes up a large portion of this chapter.
Yes.
And God really puts an emphasis on remembering the Sabbath day. But it oftentimes seems to be the least talked about. At least, I never hear anyone talk about it. Not at my school, oftentimes in Bible lessons. And I have to think, okay, how does this apply to my life? And I came across this this article, and I thought, man, this is so powerful. I gotta share this. And it says, the rest we enter into as Christians is something to experience every day. Not just one day a week, the rest of knowing we don't have to work to save ourselves, but our salvation is accomplished in Jesus. And it's easy to kind of maybe not fully appreciate each commandment or think, well, I mean, do I have to do this? But it's kind of like saying, do I need to give a gift to my wife on our anniversary? You know, it's like, imagine how that might make her feel if you say, do I need to give you a gift? It's just like this with God. You know, it's like, do I need to remember the Sabbath? Do I need to pay attention to this commandment? And maybe, you know, some might speak to you more in that way than others. But for me, I kind of toss this one to the side, but it's so important that we do observe and we do remember God, because not long before, they were enslaved for 400 years, the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like one of the most important things that God's going to have to teach these people is they need to know how to rest.
Amen.
They've been enslaved for 400 years. I brought you out of slavery. You need to learn how to rest.
Amen.
Let's look at the fifth commandment.
Awesome. Amen.
Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. This is great. And I have here written, to honor one's parents includes to prize them, to care for them, and to show respect or reverence to them. And maybe some people don't respect their parents. Maybe some parents aren't good parents, let's be honest. And I'm like, how am I supposed to honor honor them, you know, because everyone has their own family situation that's different and unique to them. And I figured that the best way to honor your parents is by obeying God.
That's right.
And it's that simple. You know, if you don't obey God, you're not going to be able to honor your parents. And if we obey God, I think in turn, obeying our parents or honoring our parents will happen.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
It's maybe, lack of a better term, it's a side effect of honoring God.
Amen.
And I'll give you a personal example. I love to eat. That means I'm always having dishes in the sink. I'm always throwing stuff away. Now, if I walk past that trash can and I see it's full, I'm probably going to regret saying this later. And I have the time, and I say, nah, I'm not going to take out the trash.
I got you.
Yeah, you're welcome, Mom. I might not be honoring my father and mother. What I'm basically saying is that my time is more valuable than yours. Mm. And if I obey God, I think I would feel inclined to want to serve and take out the trash.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So.
It's a great example.
I'm going to go home. Yeah. I got to take out the trash. I'll wash the dishes too.
Amen. Confession is good for the soul.
All right. Commandment number 6. You shall not murder. You shall not murder. All right. Well, a lot of versions say you shall not kill, but the Hebrew word for this verse actually is you shall not murder. And I think we all know what that means. And what I have written here is to unjustly take another's life. And to God, murder is just not physical in nature, but also in a condition of one's heart towards one another. And we'll touch on Matthew 7 actually a little bit, but we see that, you know, it doesn't just take doing something physically for it to be bad. You know, a lot of the sin we have is in our heart.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And to God, murder can be in your heart. If I feel some type of way about a brother, you know, and I'm thinking negatively, I could be committing murder.
That's
in my
right.
heart. And I don't think God's about that.
Tell the truth.
Verse 7. Commandment 7. You shall not commit adultery. Like I said earlier, in Matthew 7, if you even look at a woman lustfully, you commit adultery in your heart. And look, I just turned 22, if y'all didn't know. I'm a young guy, so this scripture, it is very relevant to me. I'm on college campus all the time. And if I bat an eye at a girl, take that second look, committing adultery. Wow. Dang. But it's so easy to justify things like that. But I think once we start justifying things, I think that's when we're in trouble.
Yeah. Yep.
So just really guarding your heart. And again, let's think, how do all these things build that foundation? Guarding your heart, connecting with one another, building those one another relationships, it's all to build a strong foundation. And let's look at the 8th commandment, you shall not steal. I was talking to another brother, and I was having a hard time, how do I expand on this? Because I was looking at a lot of these commandments, kind of shallow, and it's easy to do. It's easy just to glance and be like, all right, do not steal. But what does that really mean? And I was like, well, earn what you get. If I want a degree at Mississippi College, if I want a degree at Jackson State University, I have to earn it.
Mm-hmm.
If I want a pay raise, I have to work hard. I don't focus on tearing other people down to make myself look better.
That's right.
You know, I have to build myself up. I have to learn. If I want that pay raise, and in the 9th commandment, it says, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Simple. Do not lie. Be as honest as possible. Now, I never thought I struggled with lying, but I got a story. Okay? I'm an intern. at a company called Gulf Relay. They own a lot of trucks, about 250 of them. I don't drive any of them, but I'm on the marketing team, so I'm taking videos, editing photos. That's what I'm doing. It's really awesome. But my first assignment, I made a mistake. I was editing a video, and guess what? They wanted me to make some changes on the video. And I'm like, that's totally fine. But as I go back to look at the original footage, it's deleted. And I'm like, all right, so what do I do here? I still have the video I sent them, but I can't make the changes necessary if I don't have that raw footage of all the different sound effects and transitions. I just have the, you know, it'd be easier for me to show, you know, in person. But, you know, I'm like, all right, I'll try and do what I can do. And they're like, okay, try and change this. And I'm trying to work my way around all of this. And so they might be having unreasonable expectations for me because I'm not telling them the truth. They're telling me to make all these changes, and I'm like, oh yeah, I can do this. And I'm like, I can do this. You know, and they probably wouldn't say that if I just told them the truth. And as soon as I did, they're like, oh, okay, yeah, you're fine. You know, and I'm like, yeah, how many times do we like over? I was suffering with this for weeks. I told my mom, and she was like, honey, it's not that big of a deal. It was a big deal to me. And I felt terrible. And as soon as I told him, I was like, yeah, I forget how I said it. But I was like, yeah, I guess, you know, made a beginner mistake, or, you know, I tried to make it play it off or whatever. But I was basically like, yeah, I messed up. And they're like, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. You know, you're new. Sometimes it happens. And I'm like, oh, sweet. I thought you were going to, like, fire me or something. But sometimes I can be a little over dramatic. Let's look at the 10th commandment. Rocking and rolling. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. You shall not covet. I can't tell you how long I read that and didn't know what it meant. But good thing I'm doing a lesson about it. Simply put, we should get rid of desires for things that do not belong to us.
That's right.
In other words, having greed or envy. And as I was reading a commentary, or watching a commentary on Exodus 20, a speaker said, you not only want something your neighbor has, but you enjoy to see them not have it or stripped away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, dang, yeah, that preach, brother. It's like, yeah, there are some times where I'm like, man, I would just love just to see you struggle so hard, you know. But you shall not covet. And that's not a very godly response to, you know, maybe the emotions that we're feeling. Sydney said, watch your emotions. You know, definitely have to guard our heart. So we're going to go ahead and start closing out here. We're going to read verses 18 through 24, and then put a bow on this, as Richard once said. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us, or we will die. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Remained at a distance. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites this. You have seen for yourselves that I have spoken to you from heaven. Do not make any gods to be alongside me. Do not make for yourselves gods of silver or gods of gold. Make an altar of earth for me and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. your sheep and goats and your cattle. Wherever I cause my name to be honored, I will come to you and bless you. If you make an altar of stones for me, do not build it with dressed stones, for you will defile it if you use a tool on it. And do not go up to my altar on steps, or your private parts may be exposed. So God, once again, he's building that foundation. He's telling the Israelites how he wants to be worshipped, how he wants the altar to be built. He's telling him, this altar is for me. Do not make any other gods. This is right after giving them the Ten Commandments. God is building a foundation for his people. Mm-hmm. And I like here, verse 26 kind of throws you off guard a little bit at the end. And do not go up to my altar steps, or your private parts will be exposed. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean? And as I started to, dig deeper into it and talk to some brothers, I think what God's telling us here is to be presentable to Christ.
Yes.
And this is, you know, maybe him talking about modesty and making sure you're presentable when you worship, when you sacrifice. He's trying to build a good foundation for his people.
Come on.
And so we take all this information. God is building a foundation. The Ten Commandments, he's telling them, do not fear. God will keep you from sinning. That's what Moses said. He's telling you about idols and altars. And this happened thousands of years ago. And we're living in new covenant times. But in order to fully understand the New Testament, we need to understand the Old Testament as well. And we need to appreciate the Old Testament. Because you can't have one without the other. And it took a trip to Israel, actually, for me to think about that. Because that's what one of our tour guides mentioned, you know, about the Old Testament. Here in Israel, they put a lot of emphasis on Old Testament times, and just the history behind that, and he said, yeah, you can't have one without the other. And I'm like, that's so true. That's just really what I want us to think about as we close out here. God is building a foundation for his people, and we are his people.
Amen.
And the Ten Commandments is part of why we're here today. And to understand the new covenant and how to live like Jesus, we need to understand the Ten Commandments and how Israel decided to worship and follow God. Mm-hmm. So, with that, to God be the glory.
Amen.